reading from chapter 28, Rasa Vichar, Mukhirati. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shivakaya Taksur Mulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Rajanath, what is the difference between Vishaya Rati and Krishna Rati? Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shiva. I did that already, didn't I? Okay, I don't know. I'm thinking of so many other things. Let me get to the class. Sorry. So we have a pretty tight group here, and just in case someone's new. Just a little bit. In the story of people coming to Krishna consciousness, the generation after Lord Chaitanya, and we're particularly to the end of the book now, we're following the spiritual development of Rajanath and his education in the tattva, the subjects of Krishna consciousness, thoroughly. And I'm in his uncle Vijay there with great saint. Now they're in Puri with Gopal Guru Goswami, who was kind of met Lord Chaitanya when he was a young boy. So he was a little bit both in the pastimes of Chaitanya and lived afterwards. And was one of the great acharyas in our line, specifically for the the external path of Raghunuga Bhakti. External path of Raghunuga Bhakti is kind of a ritualistic guide of how you should guide, how you should focus your mind to increase, and how you should live your life, how you should focus your mind to increase your Bhava, your relationship with Krishna. Of course, Raghunuga Bhakti begins with a lobha, a greed, a strong natural desire in the heart to serve Krishna in a particular way. This is a young boy who loves a young girl. The parents can tell him, you don't love them. You can't tell him you don't have that. You shouldn't love them. You can't tell them you don't love them. In the same way, it's not something by just your intellect or your mind or something. It's really your ego, your relationship with Krishna has legitimately awakened by the mercy of a great soul after perhaps studying the Bhagavatam or the Chaitanya Charitamrita. These strong feelings come within the heart. So Rajanath has come to that level of his advancement. And what may be told here in a particular story, for the sake of the story, it may be something that happens over many, many lives, because he comes to Krishna consciousness and then practically this is awakened within him. It may take some lives of practice. Mercy of Guru, Krishna, maybe within this life some inspiration could come. So now he's asking about rasa. And rasa is perfected love. It's not just your relationship with Krishna, your rati, your Krishna rati, your particular type of relationship and the mood of that relationship. But when it's heightened to the highest degree of love called rasa. And that's what exists perfectly in the spiritual world. Perfect love, because that's Krishna's enjoyment, is love, and there's perfect love, which manifests in Leela, in the pastimes of Krishna. The pastimes of Krishna invoke the various emotional components that comprise rasa. And the Bhagavatam is a description of that. And the poetry of the Goswamis is an expansion of that and perfectly written to represent that science of rasa, the perfect preparation of love for Krishna with its different bhavas. So we explain those. And if you want to know them more, you can read it again. I'm just trying to give this general idea. And and by reading the Bhagavatam in the right mood, which means surrender to Guru and Krishna, otherwise one can't comprehend or perceive the reality of rasa from the egotistical platform. So unless one is surrendered to Guru and Krishna, he won't have the perspective to really understand it. He'll see it through the false ego and see those relationships as something like his own, where there's a similarity, but the similarity is only the similarity between gold and iron in that they're both metal. But the value and quality of one is so much more rich. So by hearing that, then that may awaken in one's heart. And then, so anyway, this has been a discussion of what is this rasa? What is this perfected love? How is it created? How is it expressed? So now the question is, what is the difference between Vishaya Rati and Krishna Rati? Vishaya means sense gratification, the feelings of mundane love, and Krishna Rati, love of Godhead. So he asked, what is the difference? He said, Vishaya Rati is mundane, but Krishna Rati is transcendental. In mundane rati, there is pleasure and meaning and extreme distress and separation. They're going to point out a difference. There's some pleasure in mundane rati, but there's distress. Therefore, there's always duality, because what you're enjoying, you may lose. So there's always that duality of happiness and distress, always. However, when bhaktis who love Bhagavan achieve Krishna rati, it turns into rasa and gives rise to pleasure of union. So rati is the feeling of love in a Krishna, a particular way. And devotees, it may rise to the, turn into rasa. And then you'll feel some union with Krishna. At the time of separation, Vipralamba, that very rati assumes the form of extremely wonderful, astonishing world pool of joy, Ananda Vivarta. So here's the difference, that there's no duality, that the pain of separation and the joy of union, they're both pleasure, because pleasure is love. And the union increases the love, this spiritual love, this internal potency. And so does the separation. It increases the love. So it's also pleasure, in its painful way, it's pleasure. And I don't know where this example, the only example I got was of dry ice. It's cold, but it burns. So, it has one feature, but the opposite happens. So separation has one feature and the opposite happens. In the conversation between Sriman Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai Ramanand, Rai Ramanand explains this astonishing Ananda Vivarta of separation in his own shloka, Bahilehi Raga Nayana Bhangi Bhela. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 8.194. The shloka appears to describe intense suffering, but in fact it is full of the highest type of happiness. In that description with Ramananda Roy, let me see. Somehow I actually have books here. That's a funny Leela. Okay, here it is. Alas, but it's not the verse. Anyway, it's the reference. Okay. I'm sorry. But we will. We will somehow continue. Anyway, the shloka appears to describe intense suffering, but in fact it is the highest type of happiness. Okay, that's what the verse said. So there's a difference. Vrajana, logicians say that rasa that we see is not fully manifest, but only part of the whole rasa. How can we answer this contention? So I guess the question is, rasa is when all these bhavas are heightened to the fullest. So do we actually perceive that, or we just perceive one of the emotions? A little bit of this is going to be very technical, and honestly, this particular section, I have to admit, I don't know if I really understand it fully myself. Because I think this is going into the Ujjvala Nilamani, but let's see. Goswami, actually it is true that the rasa aroused by interactions in the material world, jetaras, is only a part of the whole rasa. Because Ras is only manifested when Sai Bhav combines with the ingredients of Rasa. Prior to that, it remains unmanifest. So I guess it's saying in the material world, the relationships never reach its full fruition. But this is not the case in the transcendental Rasa. In the stage of perfection is internal, is divided, and self-manifest. During the stage of practice, one could realize the same rasa in the manifested form in the mundane world. So when you're practicing Krishna consciousness, you can realize something about it. Mundane rasa does not endure in separation, where transcendental rasa becomes even more beautiful in the condition of separation. This Upakrit Chinmayras, the spiritual thing, as the playful pastime manifestation of the Ladini Mahashakti. So this is a manifestation of Krishna's pleasure potency, this relationship. And it is attained oneness with the supreme bliss, Paramananda. So this becomes Paramananda. This becomes, it's one with the supreme bliss. In other words, Paramananda itself is rasa. It's the supreme bliss. This is the fullest manifestation of the Ladini Shakti. It is the pleasure of God. So the pleasure of God is love, so it is the most intense love. This is beyond the realm of logic and argument because it is in Chintya. You may say, I don't know, is it not? It's something that has to be realized. So our logic on it would be is that we have faith in Guru and Shastra. Vrajanath, how many types of rasa are there in Upakrita Tattva? In other words, in the spiritual world, how many rasas are there? There is one mukhya form and seven gona forms, so eight types of vritti. So in other words, an individual can have only one primary relationship with Krishna, which can be experienced in seven indirect ways also. Similarly, mukhya rasa, that means the primary relationship, is one of five types. And there are seven types of gona rasa, so there are also eight types of rasa. So there are five different types of rasa. You have one permanent relationship, and you can experience that indirectly through seven different types. Brajanath, kindly tell me the names of all eight. The more I hear, the more my desire to hear increases. So this is relishable for people who have this kind of love to hear it. You know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wouldn't really, I guess, discuss these things too much. Because you really have to be at a certain kind of platform to really appreciate and realize it. But at the same time, it's here in Jivadharma, it's just mentioned, we'll try to understand something. Rupa Goswami has stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are five types of Mukha Bhakti Ras, Shanta, neutrality, pritta, servitude, praya, friendship, vatsalya, parental, madhurya, conjugal. It's to be understood that the first of these five is lower than the second lower than the third, and so on. So within madhurya ras, that relationship in conjugal, it has a special intimacy, but it also has a sense of feeling of parental for one spouse to another, friendship, servitude, and even appreciation. And then Vatsalya doesn't have the intimacy of conjugal, but it has all the rest. And the friendship doesn't have the parental in it, but it has the rest. So in this way, he's explaining. Besides there are seven types of gona bhakti ras: hasya, yuma, abhuta, wonder, vira, chivalry, karuna, tragedy, raudra, anger, bhayanaka, fear, and babatsa, disgust. So again, the indirect mean you experience your friendship or something through humor. Or your parental through chivalry. There is the rasa of Dhanavir. You give charity. So a father, when his son is born, he gives charity. And that becomes a whole relish in itself. But what it actually is, it is the indirect, the primary relationship of parenthood expressed through the indirect relationship of through the indirect relationship of chivalry, of giving charity. So the father in America, it used to be cigars. Have a cigar. He hands out cigars because his son was born. And he's feeling the parental love, but this indirect rasa is so powerful, it seems to be something within itself. But actually, it's just indirect experience of the parental rasa to a powerful gona bhakti rasa, indirect. What is the meaning of the word bhava in the context of Chinmay Ras? In Rasa Tantra, the word bhava indicates the sentiment that is awakened by deep spiritual impressions of the subject of meditation in the heart of the learned, whose intelligence is exclusively applied to a spiritual subject matter. So what is it? By hearing about and studying about relationships with Krishna, and then strong, deep impressions will be in the heart of, I want to serve Krishna in this way. And in Rasa Tantra, that's what bhava would be. That strong desire, I want to serve Krishna in a particular way. And how are those impressions created? By someone who really applies himself to hearing and chanting about Krishna. I've mentioned earlier that there are two types of bhava, chinta conceivable and a chinta inconceivable. One can apply logic to the subject of chintya bhava, because all such bhavas that arise in the conditioned mind of the bodhicitta are born from an inert material nature. This means one can think about their subject matter. Similarly, any mundane thoughts about Ishvara are also chintya bhava. So, there are impressions that are made in the material mind, and we can understand and figure them out, and emotions. So we can figure them out. Actually, bhavas related to Ishvara are not chintya or conceivable, because Ishvara tattva is beyond the main subject, beyond the main, the mundane substance. However, it is a mistake to think Ishvara tattva is beyond the inert material energy, and consequently there's no conceivable bhava in him. Therefore, there's no bhava at all in Ishvara tattva. Actually, all the bhavas exist in relation to Ishvara, but they are achintya, because they are beyond the thinking capacity of the material mind. Bring those inconceivable bhavas into the heart and go on cultivating them with undivided attention. You should know that one of those bhavas is permanent, and you should accept the others, achintya bhavas, as the ingredients of rasa. When you do so, the eternal perfect rasa, which is full and uninterrupted, will arise within you. So by hearing, one of these bhavas become prominent, and then all these other emotions will mix with it to create rasa. Prabhu, what are the deep impressions you have spoken about in this context? And are his bhava, are these deep impressions that are created? Goswami, bhava, you've been revolving in the cycle of karma and birth and death, and thus because of attachment to the worldly sense gratification, your consciousness is made of two types of impressions, samskaras, namely those acquired in previous lives, kaktana, and those acquired in this lifetime, adunika. During this time, the pure tendency of the heart that was present in the pure existence, your atma, has become distorted. Now, by the influence of spiritual merit accumulated in many previous lives, you attained satsang in this life, and you are creating samskaras by performing bhajan in this association. So what are these deep impressions? By the association, satsang of advanced Vaishnavas, and by performing spiritual practice in their association, these attractions for Krishna will manifest in the heart. When these samskaras dispel the distorted samskaras, your original samskaras will arrive. The achintya tattva will manifest within your heart to the degree that these samskaras deepen. This is known as Gaha samskar, deep samskaras. So somehow the association of devotee and practice, deep impressions will come in your heart. And the inconceivable absolute truth will manifest to the degree that these impressions, these samskaras, that I want to serve Krishna, I want to serve Krishna, heart become deeper and deeper and deeper. And then it becomes real, and that's how bhakti works. The impressions of the heart to serve Krishna become deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. I want, I want, I want. It becomes overpowering. It becomes a greed. Beg, borrow, steal. I have to have this. It's all that's in your mind. You become consumed by it. And then by that, those impressions, then the ultimate reality will be manifest. Prajanath, I'm curious to know who has the adhikar to enter into Ras Tattva. Goswami, the only candidates for Ras Tattva are sadhakas who can bring into their hearts the achintya bhavas arriving from the gana samskaras, according to the sequence I've explained. So who can enter into this? People who are practicing. And they bring that real understanding by the deep impressions in their hearts from hearing these type of things. Others are not qualified. Rupa Goswami has said, Rasa is the miraculous Sai Bhav, which is the veritable repository of wonder, which is experienced after the sadhaka crosses beyond the path of contemplation. It is relished in the heart that has become radiant from being thoroughly and completely refined by Shuddha Sattva. So it's beyond contemplation. It's not an understanding. Is this my relationship or that's my relationship? I'm not sure what my relationship is. I think I like this. No, it's the love in your heart that's been created by these powerful, powerful samskaras, powerful impressions. Which has attracted the Lord's internal potency to fully blossom in your heart. So this is a little deep for today. I'm going to kind of end at that digestible note, hopefully. A little bit earlier than usual. But would anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Gail.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you. Okay.
I have a...
Okay.
I think it's...
Okay, you're correct. Ask your question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just curious, you know, about how a person's daibhav could be... An example of how a person's daibhav could be expressed as indirectly as disgust.
As bibhatsa. Well, that's mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Maybe in Shantaras, right? Neutrality. When you're appreciating the, you know, the eminence of God. And you know, this you and when you hear sense gratification, you know, then you curl your lips in disgust, like Jamuna Acharya, when he heard of his, you know, when he thought of his previous sex life, you know, now when he's relishing the wonder of God, he turns his lips in disgust. So I think it's compatible with neutrality or Shantaras.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to go for now. Thank you all for coming on. Don't you cope with it.